probably be on your mind is about the shaman, the Ain shaman. And then if we have a chance to work on the Indian of Hekish, you might want to work on some Hekish. The Gemara in Daf Yud Aleph, we saw Paskin's Ain Shaman Lagana for Gaza. Not like a blazer, which we discussed yesterday, Shir, healed Shaman. But we Paskin Ain Shaman Lagana for Gaza. And we said that there are basically two pshatim. What does it mean, Ain Shaman Lagana for Gaza? Why is a ganef and a gazlan different than a mazik? A mazik, shaman, which means that when a man breaks somebody's window, when he wants to pay him back, he can give him back the broken pieces, and we appraise the broken pieces, how much they were worth at the time of the breaking, and all the fellow has to do is add on money. That's by a mazik. By a gazlan, ain't shaman. You don't appraise the broken pieces. So we said there are two pshat. I'll go over them quickly. The first pshat we said was the Rashbam, which means to say like this. Ein shaman just means to say we don't appraise the broken pieces at the time that they broke. Why? Because since the ganet is kind of the broken pieces b'shinui, so when he goes to pay back, he could use the broken pieces. But he has to pay back more money. We look at the time when he pays back those broken pieces, how much they're worth, and if they got worth less, he has to make up the difference. That's Pshat Ein Shaman. Why does he have to make up the extra difference if it went down in price from the time they broke till the time he goes to pay with them? Because he was kind of the machinery. Those broken pieces are his. So when they got worth less, it was his pieces that got worth less. So he has to make up for the pieces. But according to the Rashbam, he could use the broken pieces. Ein shaman only means you don't appraise them at the higher price. And according to the other Rishonim, we brought down Rashi and Tosfos in the Rosh, Ein shaman lagana for gazlan means when a gana steals something and it breaks, Ein shaman. He keeps the pieces, he can't give them back at all, and he must give exactly either money or a new chayfetz complete. This was the two shittas of Rishonim in Ein Shaman. And for this, Tosfos brought special psukim that by ganef and gazlan you can't pay back with broken stuff at all. Then we went into the Rambam shita. And what we're going to do today just is work, try to explain a little more the Rambam, and one more point in the sugya, and then we'll go to the other. The Rambam seems to hold, the Rambam paskins Ein Shaman, that when somebody steals something and it breaks, he says like this. Tricky, he says, it depends on what the nigzel wants. If the nigzel decides he wants money, he can force the ganef to keep the broken pieces and get back money. But if the nigzel wants after the small pieces, he can take them. So in the Rambam Shita, it's very tricky, because till now we, according to both pshatim, Ein Shaman was based on the Yisod of Shinui Kaimon, that the Ganef for sure owns the broken pieces. The only shaila between the Rashbam and Rashi Tosfos in the Rosh was, after he owns those pieces, could he go back and give him back? But that he owns the broken pieces, Shinui Kaimon, that's Poshet. And here the Rambam says that if the nigzel wants back his broken pieces, he can get them back. So you see, Shinui is not kind of. You see, the ganef does not have the ownership. So if the ganef, if the Rambam holds that the Shinui didn't work, so then why should the owner have the choice of taking money? Let the ganef taina, if I don't own the broken pieces, so you have to take them back. Why does the nigzel have the choice in the matter? This was the kasha. And we brought down the Rukai and Brisker yesterday, just quickly, says that there was a shinui cotton here, based on the Magid Mishnah. If it would have been a big shinui, which would then the ganef would have owned it completely, and then it wouldn't be the choice; he'd have to pay back money. But since it's a small shinui, so it's not enough for the ganef to be kind of. But it's still, since it's a little shinui, he has to pay for the difference. It So therefore, he can't say Eresh El Chol for Nefer. He can't say that I didn't damage you at all. This is your thing. Because since there is a little difference, already it's not Cain Shagozo completely. And therefore, if the Nigzal wants back his original object, he gets it back. Because it wasn't a big enough shimmy. But he also has to pay cash because there was a shtickl shimmy. That's from a Chaim Brisker. Now I'm just going to say over another guy from the Or Sameach. The Hail Dor Sameach says he learned Pshat in the Rambam differently. The Rambam could be talking about even a big shimmy, where the Ganef stole an object and it mamish smashed completely. Smashed completely. And this $1,000 vase is completely not usable, it's broken pieces, and still the owner, if he wants the pieces back, gets it, and the Ganef is not kind of machine. Why not? So the Sameach says a big skill. And this, when you hear this Kiddush, you can automatically remember, those of you who had the other Shiurim, the Sameach says like this. Just like we learned in the Gemara, that when a man steals something, and the owner is Miyayish, a Ganef, if he does, is only kind of Yiyush. If he wants the Yiyush to work, but if it's like stealing chametz on Pesach, where the Goslin does not want the Yiyush to work, it doesn't work by force. So the Or Sameach says the same thing with Shini Kainu. That which it says, that a Ganef is kind of something with a Shinui, that's only if he wants to be kind of with the Shinui. He's happy with the change. So the Or Sameach says, that's Pshat in the Rambam. Here, a man stole a vase, and it broke. Now, a normal person, when something breaks, he doesn't want it to break. He doesn't want to be kind of a Shinui. He feels bad, and he lost all that, all whatever he had beforehand. So the Or Sameach says, therefore, if the Gazan would have been a Meshugana, and right away he would have wanted to be kind, in fact, would have been kind. But 99 normal people, at that time, when it broke, he didn't want to be kind of a Shinui. He didn't want the pieces. He only wanted a vase. He didn't want broken people. Later on, he changed his mind. It's too late already. And therefore, even if he wants it, if the owner wants to get back the broken pieces, the owner can come to him and say, you certainly didn't want to be kind of machine when it broke, so it's still my old pieces, so therefore I get them back, and you have to pay me for the damage, for the difference. This is the goyness of the arsenal. It's a big kiddush. But look, this is a kashit, this is what we brought down in other shiurim. What? Why can't the Ganef say, according to the Or Sameach, that he has to take it back? Since he doesn't want to be kind of Bishinui, you have to take it back. It's a nice heart. You don't know. Or Sameach, what was the kasha on the Rambam? If the thing broke, so there was a Shinui here, and the Rambam holds Shinui is kind of, so how could the owner force him to take it back? How could the Bialim force him? It's not his anymore, it's the Ganef's. There it is, talking about that the Ganef did not want to, normal Ganef doesn't want to be kind of with a Shinui of breaking, because such a Shinui is really not doing anything for the Ganef. So when you don't want to be kind of a Shinui, you're not kind of a Shinui. Now, I could be the Rishmeach himself. Somebody asked the Rishmeach a Kasha. I'm a sure Kasha. He didn't break it. No.
But
he had it
break.
No, let's say even it broke by itself. If he broke it, let's say even if it broke by itself. If he broke the Yadayim, then you're getting into Mazik. But the Kash is, Bukhari, he's kind of a Shinui. So the Teretz is, it's talking about he didn't want to be kind. Yeah? No?
The guy doesn't have to pay money for the object anyways. And the object is worth less, he's not going to want it. That's what I'm saying. So, in that case,
but obviously in a case we're talking about that now, later on they're fighting over it for whatever reason, now that each one wants the broken pieces.
But all he says later on, whenever the case is, the person who stole can have, I mean the nigzal can get it.
That's right.
No, so the...
But the Rishmeir says, because the das adam, the time of the breaking, I adding this in, because I had your same problem. I mean, Manushak, if the Gazan never wanted it, so what are they fighting about? I mean, the Ram wouldn't have to tell us a Chiddush. Obviously, they both want to have the Shvorah. Now, so the Rambam is saying, since he wasn't kind at the time of the breaking, because he didn't want the Shini to work for his benefit, So Sumer says that's the normal das. Normal people don't want shinui. They don't want broken things. So therefore, the owner has the rights. I, Taka Moshe's kasha, and I found later the Sefer Mekorbor from the Goyen, big Goyen from the last generation. They wrote a print of the Sefer. So he wrote to the Ur Sameach, he writes in the Sefer that he was friendly with the Ur Sameach. He wrote to him from other Gemaras, you see, that as we brought down another Shiurim, Shinui works even by force. Only Yush, because the Ganav has a choice whether he wants to be Kainah. But when something changes, he doesn't have any choice. As Ur Sameach wrote back to him, and Ur Sameach himself writes it in Chometz U'Matzah. And then in Perek Gimel, he printed it. Ur Sameach says like this, that for he has it only helps for but by force for the bad to make the gun, in other words, but for the benefit of the ganav, it doesn't work by force. It's a tricky thing. In other words, if the ganav doesn't, shinui helps that if the benefits of the nigzel. In other words, once there's a shinui, the nigzel could say, you can't give it back to me. You can't say Rachel Chola for now. Not mine anymore. But whether the goslin, if the goslin doesn't want to be kind of machine, and the nigzel wants to get it back, then it doesn't. We don't force the goslin to benefit by the shina, but we do force the goslin to lose by the shina. That's a tricky pshat. That's the way Meshachok the Koch of the Or Samea explains. So therefore, if the goslin would have wanted to be kind of the whole time, then the owner wouldn't have any say in the matter. But since the goslin didn't want it at the time that it broke, so we don't force him to own it. But we do force him to give it back. That much we do force him. Alright. This was the way the Ur Sameach answered Pshat in the Rambam, that even though there was a shini over here, and still he's not, and not kaina, but he has to pay the difference in money. This is the way the Rambam explained. But now let's go one more point I said in the sugya. What we left with now is we have basically two pshatim in Ein Shom and Lagana for Lagazin, which means that a ganef and a gazlin is different than a mazik, either that he, like the Rashbam learns, Ein Shom means to say we don't appraise the broken pieces at the higher price, or Ain Shaman. Why? Because Shini Kain. Or we don't appraise, or according to Rashi and Tosis in the Rosh, Ain Shaman. Why Ain Shaman? Ain Shaman means you don't give it back at all. So if you learn the Gemara in Daf Yud Aleph, there's a very important point that the Achrayim speak on. Now that we know Pshat Ain Shaman by a Ganav, and we know by a Mazik Shaman, that when a man goes and breaks somebody else's object without stealing it, Shaman, which means to say he goes ahead and he gives back the broken pieces at the higher price, and he says, listen, I'm just going to pay for the difference in money. Let's say he broke a $100 object, and the broken pieces when he broke them, they were worth $10, and then they got worth only $5. So by a mazik, all he has to do is give back $90, because at the time of the breaking, the broken pieces were worth 10. So all he has to do is pay 9. So the Shaila that Achronim bring in, what's the Gemara suffered by Shoyel? The Gemara talks about if somebody borrows something. He borrows a vessel from his friend to use. And then it breaks. He didn't steal it. He didn't break it himself. He borrowed it, and by mistake, a thunder, a chesa, a wind blew it and smashed it. The Shoyel is higher than Isaac. Shoyel has to pay. So the Gemara has a suffix. Should the Shoyel pay $90? According to the Rashbam, what's the suffix in the Gemara? Should he pay $90 or should he pay $95? Because when he goes to pay back, these broken pieces, instead of being worth $10, are now worth only $5. So what's the suffix in the Gemara? According to the Rashbam, a gazlin would have to pay $95. A mazik would have to pay $90. The suffix in the Gemara is, what about a shoyel? When he borrowed this vase, does he have to pay 90 like a mazik, or does he have to pay 95 like a gazlin? Rashi himself learns the shoyel in the Gemara. Rashi Lishitose learns the shoyel in the Gemara is, could he give back the broken pieces or not? If we compare him to a mazik, He can give back the broken pieces and just add on money. If we, Rashi and Taisus and the Rosh, who hold that a Ganes and a Gazlan have to give money, they can't give back the broken pieces at all. So according to those Rishonim, the Suffolk and the Gemara by Shoyal is, can he use the broken pieces or not? That's the Suffolk in the Gemara. So the Gemara has a Suffolk. What should we do like Shoyal? Should we compare him to a Mazik, give him the laws of Mazik, make it easier on him? Or should we compare him to a Ganef and a Gazlan and make it harder on him? But the Stipler of and other Achrayim, they have a big problem here in the Gemara. You saw the Gemara, the Shomin, the Gemara had a Suffolk. Shoyal, Shomin, Ancient. Chayra, what's the Suffolk in the Gemara? Let's learn like the Rajban. What's the Suffolk in the Gemara compared to a Gazlan? By a Ganef and a Gazlan, since Shinu is Kainan, what's the reason why he has to pay the 95, the extra money? Shinu Kainan, he was kind of the broken piece when it broke. When a man borrows something and a Shinu happens to it, there's no aloha of Shinu by Shail, it's only by a Gazlan. So what's the Suffolk in the Gemara to compare it to a Ganef and a Gazlan? And according to the Shita of the Rajban, the Shail and Achrayim is, what's the logic that maybe we should say that a Shoyal, a man who borrows an object and it breaks, should have the same laws as a Ganef? By Ganef, the reason we are for Ein Shomin is because Shinu Kainan. We said he owns the broken pieces, so when it gets worth less, it's his stuff that got worth less. But when a man borrows something, there's no din of Shinu. And it breaks. He doesn't own the broken pieces. He just borrowed it from the master, from the original owner. He didn't try to steal it. There's no halacha of shinui kaina by a shayl. So what's the suffix in the Gemara? He should certainly be like a mazik. Just like a mazik, when a man breaks somebody else's thing, he's not kaina to shinui, the broken stuff. Same thing if he borrows it. And the same kashi you have on the second pshat in the Ein Shomin. What was the other pshat in the Ein Shomin, Rashi, Taisus, and the Rosh? By a ganev, because it's a special psukim. Asher Gozal, remember, or Chaim Shtayim Yishalim, you learned in Taisvis, you got this, it's a Gevaldi Geshayla. The special psukim by a Ganef and a Gazlin, that they can't give back the broken pieces at all. But it says, Chaim Shtayim Yishalim, they have to give live, not broken. Or Asher Gozal. So if they're special psukim by Gazlin and Ganef, what's the suffering of the Gemara that a Shoyal should also not be able to give back the broken pieces? Doesn't apply. It's only where there's special psukim by Ganef and Gazlan. But where there are no special psukim, there should be no suffer. So the simplest way to answer is this could be like this. True, by Ganef and Gazlan, there are special reasons for Ein Shom. Either two reasons. Either because Shina Kona, because he owns the broken pieces, or there are special psukim that you can't pay back with the broken pieces at all. That's special psukim, true. But on the other hand, shoyal is much different than a mazik. By a mazik, there's also a special reason why a mazik could give back, could just pay the additional money, give back the broken pieces and pay. And there's that reason by mazik why you could be makel and could just do that, does not apply to shoyal either. Why? B'chayrit should be just like mazik, if anything better. So listen to a beautiful chap that Reb Moshe Zayn gives with other achrayim, here again, what we're looking for is like this. Why should a shoyal be worse than a mazik? B'chayrit is certainly not as bad as a ganan, so let's make him just like a mazik. Just like when a man, listen to the case, a man takes a vav, and he smashes it. It was worth 100, the same vase. We'll go through all the cases. He took a $100 vase and he smashed it, and the broken pieces are worth $10. He's not a nice fellow for doing it. But here's the chat. The reason why a mazik only has to pay $90 and can take the broken pieces, even if they get worth less, they can say to the fellow, listen, too bad. You have to take these broken pieces at a $10 value, and I'm only going to pay you $90. You know why? So the Achrayim and Mechadish, Because when a man breaks a vase and the broken pieces are worth $10, how much damage did he really do? He only did a $90 damage. So, in other words, when he, even though he went over and he smashed it, his mazik, his action is only on $90 worth. Because he took a vase worth $100. So we looked, he only smashed $90. He didn't smash the $10. He had nothing to do with the broken pieces. They still remained the owners. In other words, he kept chopping away. Let's say he broke it little by little. It was a $100 vase. The first smash made it worth 90. The next smash made it worth 70. The next smash 60, 50, 40, down to 10. But at 10, when he stopped smashing, he did nothing. He has nothing to do with that. That's why he pays $90 and he gives him back the broken pieces. But by a shoyel, the suffix of the Gemara is like this. When a man borrows a vase and he takes responsibility, he's taking responsibility on the whole $100. And he has to see to it to get back a $100 vase to the owner. So what happened? This $100 vase smashed and he's chayev on all accidents. So now what does he want to do? He wants to come to the owner and say, listen, okay, I'll pay you for the loss, but listen, this $10, I want to give you the broken pieces. So the question in the Gemara is, maybe he can no longer say that, maybe the mafkid has the right to tell him, you can't treat me like a mazik, because you originally borrowed the whole $100 vase. And now these 10, maybe when the Torah said that you could, Yoshev Rabbis Ashavik Afilu Subin, that's only when you didn't do anything more than the $90. But since you took responsibility on a whole $100 object, so according to the Rashbam, the Sufim, and the Gemaras, maybe you can't, even though technically you're not kind of Bishinui, but you have to make up the loss of that $5 difference, that those pieces went from $10 to $5. You have to make up that loss because you took responsibility originally on the whole $100. Or according to the Rashi and Tosfos and the Rush, the suffix of the Gemara is, maybe he can't give him back the broken pieces at all. Even though there's no special psukim of Asher Gozal, which tells us you have to take good stuff. But since he took responsibility on the whole object, as a whole, he can't start mixing and matching broken pieces with money. So that's the stuff of the Gemara. Maybe Shoyel should also be the halacha of Ein Shomim, even though it doesn't have the same lumdus of a Ganef and Gazlan. But maybe the halacha should be by a Shoyel Ein Shomim, because it's worse than a Mazik. A Mazik, the reason why Shomim, you give back the broken pieces, because you only look at the damage up till the broken pieces. So therefore, the broken piece you can give back without any problem. But a shoyel takes achrayas on the whole object in the beginning. So therefore the suffix in the Gemara is, maybe he can't, depending on what Ganafin, maybe it'll have the dinim like Ganafin Gazlan, because in one way he is compared to Ganafin Gazlan. Every Ganafin Gazlan takes responsibility on the object when he steals the whole object, and then the psukim and shinukaina. So by a Ganafin Gazlan you have all things. He has a clear responsibility, achrayas on the whole thing. Plus the din of Shini Kaina, plus the din of the special psukim Chaim Shai Mishalim. The suffix in the Gemara is, by Shoyol, even though he doesn't have those extra dinim of Shini Kaina and of Chaim Shai, the special psukim, but the original achrayas, the original involvement with the object is similar to a gazlan. Just like a gazlan steals a whole object, the same thing a Shoyol borrows a whole object. So the suffix of the Gemara is, maybe we should compare a shoyel to a gazlan. But by mazik is the simplest, even though in terms of he smashed it, but he only smashed part of the, in other words, he only did something wrong.
Like he lost his whole value
now. No, but you're so that's the lump, that's the Gemara's lump. This pshat takes on that as long as there's $10 worth, even though it's not called a vase yet, but it's, as far as money is, it's not a full loss. You have a nice tiny. I like what Dova's tiny is. Lagavi, the vase is a complete loss. So you don't look at that. As far as the value, since it was only a $90 loss. As far as the $10 loss, we don't look at it. Some machoinim want to go with your guy. You're on the right track. So we're not using that gang now. We're using the gang that by mazik, when a man breaks something and there's still some value left, you don't picture it like really he broke the whole thing, just he's using the broken pieces to make up. We look at it that he only damaged till the value of the broken pieces. This has a lot to do with Baba Kama with other during the winter Torah about mazikim. But here's where it comes in. A raganet and a shoyol, they take the whole object into their property. So therefore, that's the sin. By ganef, it's pashut ein shaman, because we have the psukim, because we have shini kainim. But the suffering of the Gemara is, what about a shoyol? The Shittim Gubetzis speaks about the same. It's Rishonim deal with it. What's the suffix exactly in the Gemara by shoyol? This was the first part of the shiur. Yeah. Okay. Any questions? Shoyol, you had a question on that? So that's the suffix. This is why the Gemara had a suffix on a shoyol. Should we say shaman or ain't shaman? Okay. Now we'll go over to the new Indian. But since you work, hopefully you got into the Gemara. I don't really have myself a full shiur to say on it. I'll say over the part. See tomorrow whether we'll go weiter in this Indian or not. But it's a very important Indian to know. The Gemara in Samech, Chesam and Beis, brings down a klal. This klal is well known, a very famous klal. That when a man steals an object, we've mentioned many times, technically who owns it? When a man, Reuven, takes an object from Shimon, technically, even though he stole it and he did an avera, but it's really not his. Why? He has a mitzvah to give it back. Or the way we explained is you can't force ownership away from somebody. So technically, when Reuven steals from Shimon, it's still Shimon's object. The Gemara comes along and says like this. Still, Shimon's ownership becomes weaker. He owns it. Technically, Shimon still owns it. Not Reuven. But Shnehem Ein Yochel Lahadish. Shimon cannot sell the object while it's stolen. He can't give it to Hegdish. He can't do anything with it, even though technically he owns it. Reuven himself also can't do anything. The Ganav. He doesn't own it. So the Gemara says they're both stuck. Shnehem and Yochel Lahakish. Zelefi Sheni Shaloi. The Ganav can't do anything with it. This is all before years, but I'll make it simple. Because Sheni Shaloi, he doesn't own it. Vizelefi Sheni Bishusai. The Shimon, the one who owns it, can't because he doesn't have control over it. This is a simple klal in the Gemara. Comes again the Rishonim. And the Rishonim, when they see this klal in the Gemara, they thought into it. What's the problem here? Why can't Shimon, if he owns it, somebody has to own it. It's either the Gazlan or the Nigzal. So, obviously the Gazlan doesn't own it. Why can't the Nigzal, the original owner, play a trick on the Gazlan and say, I'm giving it to Hegdish. So whoever, if that Gazlan will eat it, really, he'll be eating Hegdish. Just to give you an example, why the fellow should want to do it or sell it. Why can't he do it? The Gemara says, it's not in his property. So the Rishonim, in the end of the fifth parak, is a world famous machlokes between the Ramban and the Baal HaMor. What exactly is the problem? Why can't he be Makdish? The Ramban learns. The Ramban learns, well, that the problem is because the Gazlan became a shtickle partner also. The Gazlan does own it a little. He has kinyonic zela. What does that mean? The Gazlan, when he picked it up, he doesn't own it completely, but he has a little. What does he have? A little ownership that, in case the object gets changed, he's kind of bishinui. He also has a mitzvah saseh. He has responsibility to return the object. That little ownership that the Gazlan owns weakens that the original owner is not a full owner. That's the way the Ramban learns. When you'll hear the Baal HaMor, you'll get a little better what I mean. The Baal HaMor says it's not the kinyonik zil. That's not where the problem lies. The problem lies simply that since the Gazlan doesn't want to give it back, he took it away. And the Nigzel does not have any ownership on it, doesn't have any control, he can't find him, he doesn't know where it is. So the fact that he doesn't have usage out of the object, he owns it 100%. But the usage, since a person can't sell or give to Hegdish something that you don't have control over. So it's the lack of control. That's what stops the owner from being doing selling or giving to Hegdish. The Ramban learned it's not the lack of control. It's the fact that the Ganef became like a little partner. Because the Ganef has certain responsibilities, certain kinyan. So some Achrayim say, what's the nafkamina? Why? And every time you steal something, you have both problems. So there are two nafkaminas, which you find very interesting. What? Which one? What do you mean the other? Which one? Balamor. The Razor, the Balamor. What? Oh, wait a minute. So the nafkamina, that's going to be the second one. The simplest nafkamina would be, if the Gazlan gives up, he wants to do tshuva, and the Gazlan calls up the Nigzel, hello, I feel bad, it's Erev Yom Kippur, you should know that I stole it from you, and I didn't like you, but now I'm doing tshuva, and next week I'll give it back to you. Can the owner, during that week, from the time that the Gazlan decides to do tshuva, can the Nigzel sell it or give it to Hegdish in that week? No, so let's take it step by step. According to the Ramban, who learns that the problem is always because the Gazlan has it and picked it up and became responsible for the object. So in such a case, he still will not be able to do anything with it. Because the Gazlan still, until he finally gives it back to the hands of the Nigzel, the Gazlan has Kinyan Egzela. The Gazlan is still a little owner in the object. But according to the Balamor says the whole problem in every Geneva, in Gzela, the whole thing that stops the Balam from giving it to Hegdish is because he doesn't have control over the object. The Gazlan is keeping it away from him. If the whole problem is control, once the Gazlan decides to give to do tshuva, and he decides to give it back to the owner, so the owner technically has control over it. It's just a question of time. But it's not that somebody's trying to keep something away from him. So this is Rabbi Chanan Zechon Levrocha speaks out that this will be, we have to see the Rishonim themselves maybe speak it out, this is a big nafka mina lahalacha. If a Gazlan steals something, and it becomes Einar Bishusay for two reasons, and later on, Avram, now you understand the chiluk. Later on, the Gazlan is maskin to give it back. So control, now we look at it like the owner has control over it. But it's still the kinyan egzela, still belongs to the Gazlan, still has the kinyanim, he still has it in his property.
But the partnership together can make a sell together?
Oh, so it's a different kind of a partnership. You have to learn, normal partners, that's a good horror. So you have to say it doesn't mean real partners. I mean, it's a type of a kinyan gzela is a bad partnership. He didn't want it to make it originally.
Yeah, but now that if you're saying that it's a type of partnership, let them now both together make a sale.
So you'd have to be maskim to change it from kinyan gzela to normal kinyan. Maybe I was misleading when I said partnership, but you have to look at it. It's like that kinyan gzela is like as a bad problem. It's a problem. It's a stolen. That's what gave him the kinyan. You alum the shahara, but you can be worked out.
That's similar to what
Dov is saying. Let's turn into it. It could be that once he has kinyan egzela, there have to be a whole new hakno. He has to be kain hashava. Yeah, similar along those lines. The kinyan egzela should also change.
There's another question, no?
But pashtus it doesn't change. Once he has dinam of eshavas egzela, he has to be moichel the chiyav hashava. It'd be a whole complicated thing. Technically, the kinyan egzela still stopped. What
happened if both of them, they didn't know, they both were head lockers animals.
So staying in your front lockers, so they each have a problem.
No, but they're together, they both did it without your knowledge. They both did it, they both were lockers animals, they didn't.
Still, so both have the problem.
No, because if they both said it.
But still, each one has, what, Were you talking about the case of the Nafkamina case where he's masking or where he's not masking to give it back?
Even if he's not masking, they both miss.
So they both have, each one has their own problem. Shame and Yochelish means
no,
even together.
Yes.
Even together, because it's 0 plus 0 is 0. Each one doesn't have it.
Even though he's still in the
Balamor,
he has control over it.
To like the Balamor, what do you mean? Like the Balamor, it's good. The Balamor learns Kiyonik Zela Nevishter. The only problem is the control. That's the Balamor. No, control, not Rishus, not property. Physically having permission, in other words, being not being in a forced position. As long as you have control over it, according to Balamor, even though it's sitting by the Ganav, it's no problem. It's only when he hates the guy, when he's trying to keep the object away from him. That's when you can't be Makdish. Now, this is the second Nafkamina, which should be just the opposite way. I think that was a Moshe. I'll give you another Nafkamina between the Ramban and Balamor, which seems that some Achrenim just the opposite way. Again, the Ramban learns the problem always by why a Nigzel can't do anything with his object while it's stolen. Is because of the Kinyonik Zela, because the Gazlan has certain rights to it. And according to the Balamor, it's because he took away control of the object. The Nafkamina would be, in a case, could a person who loses an object be Makdish it? A man loses an object and he says, you might as well give it to Hegdish. Or technically, could he sell an object that's lost? And no, what?
Gazlan.
No Gazlan at all. The question is, could a person be magdish? Is that called Eina B'Shusim? To make it simpler, is an Aveda considered Eina B'Shusim Shalot? And a man had an object and he lost it. During the time that it's lost, he does not know whether somebody's going to pick it up or somebody will find it. We don't know. Is an Aveda, could a person sell or be magdish something that's lost? What?
Selling the hex is the same thing?
Yeah, Poshit.
You
need Shalai. No, you need Shalai B'Shusa. Poshit, you have to have. First, the selling and magdish is pretty similar. Now, so some Achrayim, if I'm not mistaken, they say it's also the Nafkamina will be the Ramban. Light the Ramban. Let's work it out. Light the Ramban, who says the problem by Gzel is because the Gazlan picked it up and he has Kinyonik Zela. So by an Aveda, where nobody else has Kinyonik Zela in it, so you should be able to be Magdish it. Because you don't have the problem by Aveda like you have by Gzela. But according to the Balamor, when an object is lost and you don't know where it is, you certainly don't have control over it. So even though nobody else has kinyonik zeil, nobody else has any rights to it, but the object is lost from you. You don't have any rights. You don't have any control over it. If it got to the hands of a finder who has a mitzvah, Shavas Aveda, then things could be different. But till it gets to the hands of somebody finding while it's technically lost.
So it's not called Nirushus?
Yeah, you have no control over it. You don't even know where it is. If you knew where it is, obviously then it's not lost.
And Aveda is usually considered until usually always considered in the Baal's Rishus.
Owning it. You own it, remember. But not now we're praying about, remember, to be Magdish, you have to have two things. You have to own the object, and it has to be Rishusay. In other words, the Machlokes Ramban and Balamor is, in definition, what does it mean, Ein Rishusay? What is the problem of Ein Rishusay? Is it a problem that somebody else got involved, or is it a problem that you do not have control? An Aveda would be a beautiful chiluk. Just finish off, some Achrayim ask a interesting kasha on the Ramban. According to the Ramban, who says that the problem is every time Eina B'Shusa is because someone else picked the Gazlan as Kinyonik Zela, he took your object and he becomes a shtickle owner on the object, he has rights to it from an offer to Gemara. There's two Gemaras. One Gemara is that the kasha they ask on the Ramban is from Gemara later on in Kuftes Zayin. The Gemara seems to say that when there was Nebuch in olden times, people would come into a city and they'd shoot, they'd go for, as a group, they'd head for a certain house and they would ransack and take everything from the house. that halacha is that the man in the house, he saw these anas. Anas, like these people used to force robbers coming. Ra'a anas ba kenegdoi. Right? And he knows that he won't be able to save, he won't be able to push them off. Halacha is from that time, he can't make anything of his property hekdesh. He can't. Because since they're coming towards him, and he knows for sure that they're going to steal it from him, so he can't make ma'aseh shemi chilul. I don't want to get confused, but basically it's a type of a hekdesh. Let's say perish meretz Yisrael, you want to eat them, you have to machal them on a coin. You can't do that because you lost control. Now, so l'chayra, according to the Baal HaMor, we understand. Because according to the Baal HaMor, the minute, since they're on the way and they're heading towards his house, technically it's like avuda, it's like something falling from the roof. In the midair, those of you who learn Baba Kama, even while it's in midair, it's like it's broken already, because it's going to happen. The same thing here. He lost control over it because they're going to take it away from him. So like the Baal HaMor, we understand the Gemara. Like the Ramban, why can't he make Hegdish? They didn't get it. They didn't make a Kenyan on it yet. So like the Ramban, why can't he be Magdish it? There's still 10 minutes left. Like the Ramban, what?
Why can't you say it's like it's going to be Kenyan anyway?
Yeah, but if I'm going to the store, in 10 minutes I'm going to go buy something. Does that mean like I bought it already?
So ownership is still his.
The ownership is definitely his, but the child's reshusa, is he still have control over it? So if the problem of control is nobody else having ownership yet, so they didn't reach his house yet. But according to the Baal HaMor, if it's not a question of them making a kinyan, the problem is him losing control. I mean, it's doomed already. So like the Baal HaMor, we understand why he can't make it hekdesh. Even before they got to the house.
I didn't say the same svar for
I'll explain to you, but for kinyan, the Kenyan doom, the fact that it's going to happen in 10 minutes doesn't give them the Kenyan yet until they physically come into the house and pick it up. If you're looking at it from a question of control, once something is doomed, is something going to happen, it's like you lost control already. But when something depends on these Ganovim picking it up, then you still got 10 minutes till they make a Kenyan. Yeah?
You can say it's, you don't have to make a Hegdish
because
they're
going to
treat it wrong.
That's their abundance. And source their abundance. I'm not finished yet. So just, I just want to answer the terrorists. What you're saying is not in a minat terrorist. So the Achrayim proof from this is very interesting. And they answer, they say like this. Do you know how the Ramban will answer? The Ramban really holds of both problems. Ramban will have to hold either one is enough to knock out, to be called Ein Rishus. Till now, we kept thinking the Ramban holds the only problem is Kinyan Gzela, and the Baal HaMor holds the only problem is the fact that the control, that you lost control. But since we have a Gemara that proves clearly like the Baal HaMor, that lack of control is also enough, so the way to answer the Ramban is to say, the Ramban didn't say only Kinyan Gzela. According to the Ramban, both are enough. According to the Baal HaMor, only the lack of according to Baal HaMor, it's only one. But in the Kanaya, according to Ramban, what? The answer is this is the Kashi of Bukhani.